Well, over the past few days, we've heard a fair bit coming out of the USA from the President, Donald Trump. And he is sort of rattling the old sabres, I think, against Iran. He's been against Iran for, well, pretty much for the duration of his presidency, and indeed even before the presidency that occurred a couple of years ago. Richard Kelly is what we call a catastrophist, a man who looks at some of the catastrophic things that go on in this world, or potentially. Richard Kelly, thanks for joining us on Australia Overnight. Richard, he is rattling the sabres a bit, the President, isn't he? What are the dangers of, as a catastrophist? How do you see things coming out? Do you think he's being dinkum about it or not?
Well, very interestingly, Alan, overnight he's come out and done a bit of a backflip from his initial tweet around he will end Iran, to say that there's no reason to think there is any large credible threat coming out of Iran at the moment, and we're on a watch and hold, which is totally at odds to what his defense force is actually preparing for. And so it actually gets me to think that there's actually a lot more truth to the level of alerts that have been happening in Iran. They've actually called all their embassy and consulate staff back to the US. The Fifth Fleet is on the water, well, it's always on the water, but it is mobile in the Gulf and full with long-range bombers. So there's certainly something going on, despite Donald Trump coming out overnight saying that there's now no imminent threat. So what that means is going to be very interesting over the next 24-48 hours.
Pre-Trump, you know, there was such a lot of hard work put in by the European Union and indeed by the former President Barack Obama in trying to bring Iran into line with their nuclear ambitions. And it seemed as though things were going along, perhaps not swimmingly, but it looked okay. The European Union and Barack Obama, and I suspect most of the rest of the world, were saying, okay, chaps, do the right thing and we'll look after you. But the moment that Donald Trump became the president, things turned around quickly.
It's very interesting. The rhetoric coming out of Iran is around, could you please show us some respect? I think under Barack Obama and the European Union, they had been shown a lot of respect. And that's just the way Obama was. And under the Trump administration, they've been shown a distinct lack of respect. So that has, if you like, got their shackles up and meant that a lot of the deep diplomatic work that went on over a long period of time has come under a lot of pressure, and we're seeing a crisis forming in the Middle East that we haven't seen for a decade, I guess, in terms of where this could actually eventually lead to, and more importantly, from an Australian perspective, what that means for us from a number of issues, nonetheless, is international trade and commerce.
Of course, across the Atlantic into Europe. What is the European Union thinking about the way that Donald Trump is acting?
I think that's a very interesting question. The Europeans typically are keeping their cards, do keep their cards very close to their chest in terms of that their main focus is around the issues around the whole Brexit debacle. Mm. And then in terms of what's happening, I think that they look at the US with a bit of amusement at the moment with what goes on from an administration perspective, and are focused on the bigger issues they have on the European front.
And of course, when you talk about Brexit, that's another absolute catastrophe in the making as we talk. Who knows what's going to be happening there. Now, just getting back to Iran, of course, you know, the world does want to trade with countries in the Middle East. And by having this, it's almost like a blockade against Iran. It must be getting their Irish up a bit.
I think very much so. I think that's what's caused some of the... There's been rumours and or reports of tankers being attacked and pipelines being attacked and destroyed, and that's all being linked back to Iranian action on in retaliation to the perceived embargoes that have gone on, or the impact of the embargoes that have gone on. So there's a lot of smoke. The fire's not too far away, and I think as Australians we're sitting back in this kind of afterglow of a federal election where none of these world political issues whether it be, as you point out, to the effects of Brexit on us, it seems so far away, the effects of the Middle East seem so far away, no one's even talking about it. We're talking about franking credit rebates, and does climate change exist?
That's right, yeah. It is quite true. During the election campaign, I don't recall Brexit or Iran or indeed foreign affairs at all being mentioned by either party. Might have come up intermittently from time to time, but nothing in my head that is even remotely memorable. And, of course, Richard, we can go back to 2003 and remember how Australia just absolutely embraced the attack on Iraq. And we know what the result of that has been. If in the event that the USA did say, listen, we are going to go for Iran and make it its official end, do you think Australia would go on board this time, or we say, hey, you don't want to be part of this one?
Well, that's a very interesting question you pose, Alan. I think we have joined with the US so tightly over the last 50 years, post-World War II, that Trump's on the phone to Morrison to wish him well in his new role as PM, a continuing role as PM, that I think that we will jump to be with the US, and that is not potentially a very good outcome for Australia, given where we sit in the world geography and where world events could be. If you go to where we play this, my role as a catastrophist is to warn people about what happens when we have unintended consequences if a decision is made now. Easy decision to side with the US. We have done for so long. We do it in this sort of environment, given the last 10 years of what's been happening. You start thinking around the World War III scenario, which is obviously no good for anybody on either side.
And of course, when we talk about World War III, it won't be like the old World War II or World War I. It'll be one that probably will involve nuclear weapons.
Yes. My biggest fear is that with the nuclear weapons, you've got the kind of doctrine of mutual destruction. In the new world, I think the fight will be on the cyber front. I think it'll be how do we unleash not chemical weapons, but viral computer programs that can bring down whole financial systems. So, looking forward that there's a whole place out there that could you imagine China was able to launch a virus that disabled all the automatic teller machines in Australia and you couldn't get cash out.
Well, indeed, you know, they could do it to Australia, they could do it to any country in the world, and I suppose, you could put the shoe on anybody's foot, you could put it on the foot of the USA, who might decide to do that against China. You know, we hear about cyber terrorism, and we only talk about China, but I'm sure that the USA and the European nations would have those same capabilities if they wanted to screw China over, or indeed any other country.
Correct. You just have to think about the people that are known protagonists, and you go to attacks that have happened out of Russia and North Korea, cyber attacks that happened that are cyber terrorism, as you point out, and you start going to, well, it's easy to think that it simplifies it to say we can just lob a couple of nuclear bombs at each other and people work out that's not a good idea. But the smarter, longer play is around, well, what can you do to disable a country's IT infrastructure? And you go to, I know that things like electricity generation, everything that we know of is now controlled by computers. And if you disable the electricity transmission in a country, you bring it to its knees.
Of course, yeah, of course you do, yeah. Now, we've had the Foreign Affairs Minister of Iran, Javad Zarif. He counter-tweeted Trump's tweets last week. He said, they can come and try with Genghis Khan and Alexander the Great have failed to do and put the rest of the world on high alert. Knock, knock, is anybody at home? So the Iranians, how are they really feeling about this threat from Trump?
I think what you see with Iran over the years, I'll go back to some of my initial comments, is they just want to be respected, and that the US has always been talking and not very good at, I guess, playing well with others and thinking that they always have to be the leaders and the upper hand and have the upper hand. So I think what Iranians are feeling is that, well, we've been here for a long, long time as a civilization, and to the points that were made by their foreign affairs minister, some pretty notable people in history have tried to take them out. That they're going to, and we've seen some things over the years that Iran have been able to do. They're a very proud and noble race of people who will not go down without a fight. So, and that's the scary part about this. They're not about to. They're going to be strong.
Of course, yeah. I think officially in the Middle East, there are no nations that are nuclear armed. That is officially. Many would say that perhaps Israel does have one or two they could set up if they wanted to. But that's only hearsay. That's a bit of scuttlebutt. But we would hate to think it would be the end of the world really as we know it if a nuclear war did take place, or indeed even a cyber war did take place.
Yeah, the correct. So, and we go through. The question is in terms of, well, they're technically, and the US inspectors that are in Iran would say they have no nuclear bombs. Their ability to leverage up quickly from to enrich uranium resources that they have and to create a nuclear device or nuclear weapon, how long would that take for them to be able to do that? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but let's say it's 6 to 12 months. From being provoked into having to defend themselves, and you could say they're being provoked into defending themselves now with the rhetoric out of the US from Trump, then we look down the track and they could be nuclear enabled.
Yeah, quite true. It is time to stop the saber rattling and start negotiating, as far as I'm concerned. Will it happen or will it not? Only time will tell. Richard Kelly, been great talking with you this morning, a catastrophist, letting us know his feelings about what's going on in the Middle East and what the future may be. Richard, great to talk with you. If folks want to know more about your business, how can they read about you?
They can go to my website at www.teamstrategicthinking.com.
Sounds good. Thanks for your time, Richard. Been great talking with you.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it.